burnout is real high in the medical and dental profession. So if I can give people options to where they're not trapped, where if they want to at least cut back to part-time, you know, they can cut back part-time if they want to change careers, whatever. You can't do that if you're locked in to a job, 401k, that sort of thing. That doesn't give you any options.
Welcome to the Threefold Real Estate Investing Podcast. This is the podcast where you'll not only learn how you can achieve massive success in multifamily real estate investing, but also how you can simultaneously pursue great relationships with your family and a better walk with God. You can achieve financial freedom through real estate investing without sacrificing the relationships that mean the most to you. Now, here's your host, Lee Yoder.
Welcome back, Threefold listeners. I hope you're having a great week. Winter is definitely upon us here in Ohio. Our guest today is probably not as cold as we are. He is from down in Louisiana, the debt-free doctor. Dr. Jeff Anzalone is joining us today. A little bit about him. And we had Jeff on our podcast before, so if you've not listened to that episode back on March 30th, 2021, Jeff was episode 41. Go back and listen to that because we'll do a quick bio on Jeff and a little bit of his history, but we really got into how he got started in real estate on that episode. So go listen to that one, then you can listen to this one. But Jeff is a full-time, still practicing periodontist, and he calls it the great state of Louisiana. I like that. Take pride in your home state there, Jeff. But he's the author and founder of debtfreedoctor.com. His focus is on helping doctors and other high-income professionals create passive income from real estate so they can stop trading their time for money. Love that. That's what we're trying to do here. But Jeff, welcome back to the show, man. Thanks for joining me again.
Yeah, we Louisiana people love you, Ohio people, for giving us Joe Burrow. So we gave him back, so we appreciate that.
Yeah, I was just telling you, I'm still very bitter about that. I'm huge Buckeyes fan. I would go watch the spring games and Burrow would just light it up. And I can still remember his sophomore year where I was like, this kid is ready to go, you know, redshirt sophomore. And I'm like, he's ready to go. And JT Barrett started instead, which he was, you know, a good quarterback, but he didn't have that next level like Joe Burrow did. But yeah, Urban Meyer didn't see it. So anyway, hey, let's get off that, Jeff. I could talk about it for another hour and cry about it here with you. But we do have him back with the Bengals, and we are happy about that. So, yes, thank you for giving him back to us, Jeff. Hey, so we got into a little bit, but real quick, Jeff, remind the listeners, or if they don't get a chance to go back and listen to the other episode, you're a practicing periodontist. What the heck are you doing with real estate? How did you get interested? Take us back there real quick, just a brief version of how you got interested in real estate.
Yeah, it was actually from a snow skiing accident. Injured my wrist. And as a dentist, you know, we got to have our hands, you know, to work or we can't provide. And that was my wake up call and luckily it wasn't anything major, but it was like, okay, I wasn't looking for extra streams of income to go buy stuff. I was looking for it for, you know, more of an insurance policy for, you know, my kids and stuff, because if that stream of income shut off, like it did in the pandemic, because we couldn't practice for a few months, you know, we had other stuff coming in. So that incident led me to start looking, and I literally everything that I found was online. It's free, you know, podcasts like yours, YouTube videos, blogs, that sort of thing. I just started to educate myself. And as I started doing it, I noticed, you know, real estate was where to be. That's what most of the millionaires were doing. They had multiple income streams. And back then, there wasn't a whole lot of resources for other doctors, dentists, those types of people. So I started this blog just to start putting down like, okay, well, I'm learning about cap rates. I'm learning about internal rate of return. I'm learning about, you know, all these things that I didn't know about. So that's how I started the education. Like, okay, I think it'd be a good idea if you knew what a cap rate was. So I write an article on it. And then slowly but surely it grew to kind of what it's transformed into now.
Yes. Nice. That's awesome. And yeah, maybe just tell us a little more about that, Jeff. What is Debt Free Doctor? What do you do? Debtfreedoctor.com. What are you doing there? Just explain that a little bit more to us.
Yeah, it's a resource. It started off more my story when I started off with Dave Ramsey. I was a big Dave Ramsey guy back then. You know, debt is bad. But then once I started learning that, you know, not all debt is bad, but that's how I think the name got started and it just kind of stuck. Yeah, okay. But that was my process of paying off, you know, $300,000 student loan debt.
Wow. Yeah.
Then getting to the point where I was, you know, debt free at that time. And then the kind of the transition over into real estate. And so now it's, you know, mostly about real estate, passive income, mindset, taxes, you know, though any type of resource that I think is close to like 400 articles. But about a year and a half ago, I looked up and I was like, you know, I read articles, but I don't read articles as much. I was, watching more YouTube videos, at the gym and stuff. So I was like, well, I've got all these articles I've written. Why not turn them into videos? So I started a YouTube channel. And so now that's a way. It just kind of depends on how people consume information. So it's nice to be able to give them both.
No, and I like that you brought up Dave Ramsey and the name, the debt-free doctor. And like you said, now you're not debt-free anymore, right? Because you're taking all this real estate debt, but it's good debt. It's very different. And I think that's very important. It's a good educational piece. And like Rich Dad, Poor Dad gets into all that, where it's like, no, they're the people that win actually do have debt, but it's debt on assets that pay them cash flow, right? And assets that go up in value, right? Not liabilities. Like there's a place for Dave Ramsey and there's a place for Robert Kiyosaki. And if you've got a bunch of bad debt, especially credit card debt with really high interest rates, just get debt free first. Like, do all that. You might talk to somebody, Jeff, that you're like, you're not ready to invest. I mean, you need to get your house in order first. But then, you probably should go get some good debt on assets. Like, you're not going to get very far if you buy everything all cash, right? So, I'm sure that's kind of an early part of the process of education. Who's coming to you? Who's your website for? What are they looking at? And maybe how do you get them started along their education path toward real estate investing?
I think I was talking to them, I have two teenagers right now, and I'm really big on at least exposing them to entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I just got my son. He's a senior. He's actually the quarterback this year. Not quite as good as Joe Burrow, but he's, fairly good. But that he's transitioning into college, I'm always wanting to focus on skills that you're not going to get in school, like selling, marketing, customer service. So I noticed a lot of these really, really wealthy people, Mark Cuban, other people like that, they got their start at Cutco knives.
Yes.
So I just literally a week ago just got him a job. They actually have a job offering for students where they train you. And he's never done anything like this before. But I mean, and I said, look, don't do this for the money. Do this for what you're going to learn. And he's over there and he's getting a list of people from me, from my wife. He has to do calls face-to-face. He has to ask for referrals. He has to show them the stuff. And I mean, he's he'll probably make almost $1,000 in 2 weeks, which I was like, how long did it take you to make that, working at the health club? He's like, almost a year,
Yeah.
But it's not about the money. It's about those skills. I didn't learn any of that in school. I didn't learn anything about entrepreneurship. And I went to school a long time. And then I start online learning about real estate and that sort of thing. And it's crazy the amount, I'm almost making as much money in real estate that I've only been doing it for a few years, free online versus what I'm doing at my office that took me 12 years and, several hundred thousand dollars of debt. So it's insane how you can make money now. Back when I was going to school, it's just like, you got to go to school a long time. You got to get a specialized degree.
Yep.
That was it. Times have changed.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot out there. And people are getting like more flexibility, I think, and get more interested in it. But you're right. I mean, for so long, it was the longer you go to school, probably the more money you're going to make. And then the longer you stay with the company and the more time you trade for your money, the more money you make, right? Like if you're committed to your company and you're willing to work a bunch of hours and travel and do all that. So what are you trying to tell people, Jeff? Like, again, you're telling them, like, there's all this education online, but what are some first steps? Like, how do you get them going down this path of seeing things differently and starting to use investing instead of just trading more time for money?
I think it all starts back with the cash flow quadrant.
Okay. Yeah. Explain that.
How we're making money. And you never think about that. And I had my first real estate meetup meeting a couple of weeks ago, and that's how I started the meeting. And some people had heard of it, but the people, and it was all physicians and dentists there. One guy owned a beer company and one guy owned a health club. So it was, high income professionals. And once I kind of went over that on the whiteboard, and it was kind of like, dang, most people are employees or self-employed, and you never think about that. I have to go treat patients to get paid.
Yep.
If I wanted to make more money, I have to work more hours, treat more patients, or both. That takes time away from my family. But if that's all you ever know, then that's it. You know, if you never leave your hometown, you know, I remember in high school, some kids that they had never been on my side of the town. They would come over, you know, after football practice. And it was just like, they're looking out the window going, we didn't even know this existed. Like, you know, you don't know what you don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So I, you know, I didn't know any better, but then once you start looking at how these wealthy people work, it's like, they don't trade their time for money. They just, they do make money, but then they immediately put it to work for them.
Yeah.
And it's a different way of thinking. So that's where I like to start people. And then sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't. Burnout is real high in the medical and dental profession. So if I can give people options to where they're not trapped, where if they want to at least cut back to part-time, you know, they can cut back part-time if they want to change careers, whatever. You can't do that if you're locked in to a job, 401k, that sort of thing. That doesn't give you any options.
Yeah, no, good point. I mean, so again, the cash flow quadrant, that's another book by Robert Kiyosaki. Great book, highly recommend it. And it's, you're an employee, you're self-employed, you're a business owner, or you're an investor. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Get that right? Okay. So if you're an employee, you work for somebody else, your paycheck is dependent on them, you know, giving you a paycheck, and you can lose your job. So there's that, but like, you know, if you work and you're getting paid for the amount of time you put in, even if you're on salary, it's still, you know, there's certain requirements and you do this and you get paid, and that's fine. And maybe for some people that's it. But, but maybe you go to being self-employed and you say, well, no, I want to do that for myself, but it's still, in some way, it's still the same, because the amount of time you put in is creating whatever, you know, let's say, hey, you know, I was a mechanic, but I want to open my own shop. Well, that's great, because you get to decide when you want to work, but you only get paid when you work. Like, you only get paid when you're fixing cars, just like when you were an employee. Now you get to call the shots and you get to work when you want. If you want to take a day off, you can't. So sure, it's better in some ways, but it's still, if you stopped working, your money would stop immediately, right, Jeff? Like, as long as you're on that side of the quadrant, if you're an employee or self-employed, as soon as you stop, the money stops. That's why, you know, employees, they try to save up as much money as they can, because they know the day they quit, the income stops, and they've just got to have a big enough nest egg to live off of the rest of their life. On the other side of the quadrant, you can own a business. And if, when you own a business, you're not the one working in the business. You've got employees. You've got employees working. So if you didn't work for a week, your employees are still working. The business is still bringing in money. You're still getting paid as a business owner. If you're an investor and you invest your money, you don't have to work. You can be a passive investor. You're not doing anything. Your money is still making money. So there's money coming in. So that's the difference between the two sides of the quadrant. So thanks for bringing that to mind. I totally agree with you, Jeff. I want to talk about that a little bit more, because I think that is a great starting point. People start to go, oh, okay. So I need to, again, you don't have to jump all in like I have and say, well, I'm going to go. I haven't, I'm still basically self-employed. So I'm still on that side. I'm an investor too, but you want to start to move to that other side a little bit. And I love what you said there at the end, Jeff, that, hey, even if, you know, you just get burnout and you can just go part-time, that's so powerful. And I say that all the time. Like, maybe right now, mom and dad are both working and you're both working full time, and you would love for just one of you to cut back a little bit, to have more time to just run the kids around, just have some flexibility around your schedule. That can be a game changer. It can change your family's lives if you can do that. And I think investing and just, again, getting a little bit on the other side of the quadrant and letting your money work for you and allowing that to bring in some income on top of, or in place of, your, you know, employment or self-employment income, it can be a game changer, right, Jeff? So that's where you're trying to get people started, to get them really interested in investing.
Yeah, pretty much. Cause I can, I had a talk with a dentist yesterday. He worked for a corporation and he said he owed $800,000 in taxes. And it's like, yeah, that's, you know, some people think that's great, but it's like, I want to be on the right side of the quadrant. You pay the least amount of taxes.
Yeah.
So you're working less, you're paying less taxes.
Yep.
So just getting people just to think about their situation, and, you know, I can't make somebody lose weight. They have to be the one to lose weight, you know? So I can't make somebody move over that quadrant. So it starts with them. You know, they have to have some sort of why first, why they want to do it.
Yep. And it's a great point about taxes. Yeah. The difference in taxes on the one side of the quadrant, the other. I mean, people should just know our tax code was written by wealthy people. It was written for wealthy people. It was written for investors and business owners. So you might as well jump in, because that's where all the tax breaks are. I mean, love them or hate them, Trump told you how it works, and that is how it works. If you're smart and you just understand the tax code and you kind of work that way, you're going to have more tax breaks. That's just how it's written. You can be mad about it and try to change it, sure, but for right now, that's how it's written. You might as well jump in and get to enjoy some of those tax breaks. So when somebody gets to the point, Jeff, that they're interested in investing, how do you educate people to get started in that, Jeff? Because people that come and they go, oh, okay, sure, I want to become an investor. I know nothing about real estate or what I should invest in. How do you get started in that?
You know, it's getting to the point where you're educated enough to where you think that you can tell whether a deal is good or not, or you know, a lot of times people just look at the sponsor, and because that's the main thing, as you know.
Yes.
It's the yep. you can have a great sponsor, they can turn a bad deal around, but you can have a bad sponsor that ruins a good deal. So it's basically the jockey, the horse for sure. Yep. So, you know, I spend most of my time now networking with people. I like to look at what really wealthy people who are they investing with. Mm. So that's one of my first places to start. I've got a friend here that owns some pharmacies. He's not a pharmacist, his wife is, and he has an accountant friend in Texas, and he's like, look, I can see all, you know, I've got multimillionaire clients. I can see what they're investing in. They're all investing in real estate. I can see the groups that they're investing in. So there's ways that you can figure out why reinvent the wheel.
Yep.
You know, let's go with, you know, people are buying, you know, or, you know, a particular stock and everybody's making money. Well, you just buy that stock. You don't need to be a stock analysis to figure out, you know, what to do. But,
yes,
you know, I send out an article and a video each week. I want people to be educated enough. You know, you don't have to be let's talk about your taxes. So you don't have to be your own CPA. You don't have to go to accounting school and all that, but you need to know, you know, when you're hiring one, you need to know enough, which I didn't back then, but you need to know enough to ask good questions to the accountant. Now that I'm a little more versed in it, you know, with depreciation and syndications and that sort of thing. So that was one of the things that I did when I hired them, you know, had some questions. So whenever somebody is looking for this people to work with, you know, have some questions, do due diligence. You know, we do background checks and we have a process that we go through because, you know, I've got about 1500 investors in my group, plus me, family, friends. So I want to do everything I can to try to find the right people.
Really good stuff there. And you mentioned the sponsor. I totally agree with you, Jeff. I mean, it's the jockey, not the horse. I mean, I always say like, yeah, you've got to buy right. You got to buy in the right area. I mean, that stuff matters, but it pales in comparison to the group that is going to operate the deal. And that comes down to the property manager, but it's the asset manager. It's the sponsor that's going to pick the property manager if they don't do it themselves. And so there again, like it's up to them and you should be buying for cash flow, in my opinion. So like you've got to operate the deal well. That's how the guys and girls win in this game is they operate well so that they maximize the potential of the property. And then sure, the market might lift them up, but it's going to lift them up even higher because they operated well. And then when it doesn't lift them up and the tide goes out, like maybe it's going out right now, it's the good operators that can hold on and do just fine. And we'll wait until the tide goes back up and that's when we'll sell, right? And so it's so important. The thing I always think about, Jeff, when I think about the sponsor and picking a good sponsor is networking and talking to others. And I think that's why a group like yours is so powerful because you talk about 1,500 investors. Let's say 500 of them, let's say a third of them haven't invested yet, but want to. But that means 1,000 people have already invested with sponsors. So you've got 1,000 people in that group. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jeff, but that you can talk to about a sponsor. So you're saying, I'm looking at this deal. You talk to some people in that group or whatever, talk to you and, hey, has anybody invested with somebody? If you can talk with somebody that's invested with a sponsor previously, that is the best way to get an idea for how that sponsor acts, right? Like what's their communication like? What do they act like when things aren't going so great? Are they still communicating? You know, all those things. Would you agree with that? Is that part of maybe what you can do through networking and masterminding and things like that?
Yeah. And to kind of take it a step further, I'm in a mastermind group of people that raise capital for other sponsors. It's over 300 people. So I can listen to them. They're going to avoid the bad sponsors, or they're going to say, you know, hey, what do you think about threefold investing or whatever? And oh yeah, they're great or this or that, you know, they pay on time. They have great communication because they want what's best for their investors. Yep. Or they could say on the flip side, you know, no, they're not good. They've blown a few deals or whatever. So I can get it from my investors, but I can also get it from other people in my shoes, plus wealthy people. So those three kind of come together.
you've been investing now. You know, you and I talked about a year and a half ago. You'd been doing it for a little bit then, but you're still working. So what's that look like for you? I mean, what can it look like? What has real estate done so far? What's maybe the I mean, we have to get into the details here. You don't have to tell us your life goals, Jeff, but I mean, what has it done for you so far? And what do you think maybe it can do in the future? Just so other people can kind of get an idea, since you've been, you know, walking the walk, here as a passive investor, getting very involved. Yeah. Just tell us a little bit about your journey and maybe what's next. Are you going to retire next year? What can that look like for somebody that follows in your footsteps?
Yeah. I think everybody needs to start with some specific goals, because if you're real vague, like, oh, I want some passive income, it's kind of like saying, I just want to lose some weight. Well, that's not going to happen. So I'm actually in the process right now of, I just read one of the best books, Goals, Brian Tracy.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay.
It's an older book, but How to Get Everything You Want Faster Than You Ever Thought Possible. That is the best, goal setting book I've ever read.
Really?
And, nice. And so I'm doing a few articles and videos on it to help people, because I have all these investor calls and they're all over the place. You know, they don't know what they want. So now I'm able to guide them. You know, you got to have this burning desire, this reason to do it. And if you don't, you're not going to do it. I'm sorry. I mean, you're just going to sit here and spin your wheels and, you know, look for real estate or look for stuff. You're not going to do anything, and that's fine. But, you know, what happens, when do people like really take action? Like, when do people like lose weight? When they have the heart attack, right? Something happens to them.
Yeah.
So it starts with that. It starts with having some sort of why. Why are you doing this? And then come up with something that you can attain. Like, okay, let's shoot for $1,000 a month in passive income. Something like that. Something that's attainable. And then we figure out the numbers with them. Then we work backwards. So I, you know, I made it a point to, when my passive income gets to the point where it equals my practice income, I was going to transition into, you know, teaching real estate full time. So that's the path that I'm on now.
Nice.
Again, everybody's different, but you know, you got to have some goals to set that's attainable. And networking is really important. He talks about that a lot. You know, it's all about connections that you can get, and you know, go from there.
Yep. Yeah. Really good stuff. No, I think setting a goal and being realistic about it. You know, start really small. It makes me think of that quote that everybody uses. You know, people overestimate what they can do in a year, but they underestimate what they can do in 3 or 5 or 10 or whatever. And so, you know, set a small goal for the first year, because this real estate game, this investing game, it builds slowly. It compounds and it can grow you incredible wealth, but it's slow at first. You know, $1,000 a month, you know, people are gonna like, well, that's nothing. Well, it's what it's going to look like. You know, you're not going to get a ton unless you have $1 million to invest right away. You know, it's going to start small, but you know, you put that money away or whatever, and you keep investing and keep growing it. It's just going to grow.
Now, one thing you can do is list out your basic living expenses, like, you know, your light bill, your water bill, your rent or mortgage, your, if you have a car note or whatever, start with the smallest one. Let's say it's a $200 electric bill. Okay. Well, get enough passive income to keep your lights on, then move on to the next one. And then next thing you know, you'll look up and you go, wait a minute, all my money is paying all my bills. If I want to stay in my career, I can. If I want to do something I really want to do, I can. But, you know, maybe focus on the next step is replacing your personal expenses. Then you're pretty much financially free.
Yeah. Right.
And most people will realize it doesn't take as long. You know, these financial advisors, they put it in your head. They lock you in 60, 65 years of age. And then you have this worry, like, I'm always going to, have I saved enough? I'm going to retire next year. Oh, wait, the stock market's down. I can't retire next year. So you're always worried about running out of money. It's that scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
But again, it's a different way to think. You're just investing for cash flow. And once you get to the point where your money is paying your bills, then you don't have to navigate like that, you know?
Yeah. Right. Game changer. Well, as we kind of wrap it up, Jeff, I always like to ask, kind of in summation here, what is a key ingredient to having success in real estate? So when maybe somebody wants to, you know, let's talk specifically a passive investor, what's that key ingredient they need to have, in your opinion, in order to be a successful passive real estate investor?
Yeah. Again, you need to be knowledgeable about the area. You need to be familiar with the terms. You need to network with people, whether it's locally or joining some groups. get to where you're comfortable with things. You don't want to invest in something you don't know anything about.
Yep.
You know, I saw that a lot in the crypto space. You know, people jumped in, and you know, I knew people with several hundreds of thousands of dollars in it. They still couldn't explain to me how it worked.
Gosh, yeah.
So you need to make sure you understand how it works, how you're paid, how the taxes work, the depreciation works.
We started it down lines, and you've brought up your family and how you're incorporating them. I know family is important to you. I know you and I share a lot of similarities in that way. But then what do you think is a key ingredient to, while pursuing success and having some success in real estate investing, also, you know, having success outside of real estate as a husband, as a father, you know, a man of faith, if that's important to you? What's something you're doing there? What's a key ingredient to make sure you're keeping your priorities straight, I guess?
Yeah, making sure you kind of schedule things to where you have time to stay healthy, to work out, to eat right. You know, your kids are watching you, so they're looking to see how you operate. So have time like that. I start off 4 days a week from the get-go, because I knew I wanted to have time to do things with them, travel with them. You know, as they get older, it becomes different, but when they're smaller. Yep. Same thing, you know, we'll have a date night with my wife, we're always going, doing things with other people, networking. So, kind of keeping that balance, you know, 'cause if you do too much of work, one thing's going to suffer. You do too much of not working, unless you're a passive investor, you know, that's a different thing. You know? just trying to have that balance, whatever's important to you may be what's different than what's important to me.
Yep.
So it just depends on the person.
Yeah, good point. But I think you're so right. I mean, you got to get it scheduled. You got to block off time, because otherwise, you know, work can kind of keep creeping in, especially for certain people that, you know, are just really driven in work and really like to work and are really, you know, just ambitious or whatever, work can creep in. But if you block off time and you say, no, this is date night time. No, this is time with my kids. This is all that. Yeah, it's kind of what it takes sometimes. You know, it's good stuff. Jeff, we mentioned debtfreedoctor.com. Is that the best place for people to find you? Are you active on social media as well, or should everybody just go to debtfreedoctor.com to learn more?
Yeah, I don't do too much social media. So that website or the YouTube channel is the same name as well.
We'll put both of those in the show notes. Those are really good. Yeah, good stuff. Well, Jeff, too, before I let you go, I always like to ask my guests, how might my listeners and I be praying for you in the coming weeks?
We have two teenagers. So if you have teenagers, enough said. So you never know who's going to wake up, if it's going to be somebody really moody or somebody nice. Yeah. So we all need help. We have teenagers.
That's awesome. No, I'd be happy to pray for that for you and your wife, Jeff. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Good stuff. Good times, precious time. But yeah, I'm sure crazy and fun and exciting all at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, Jeff, this has been great, man. Always learn a lot when I talk to you. Love your perspective there, the passive income, especially for high income earners that can, you know, benefit for putting their money to work for them. The tax benefits. I mean, there's so much there. So love what you're doing there at debtfreedoctor.com. And thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Take it easy.
Thank you for joining us for another great episode. I hope you'll take action on what you've learned today. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving Lee a 5-star rating and review. And check him out on threefoldrei.com. Until next time, 1 Timothy 6:17.